Hey, welcome in. Here we go. Episode 18 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here high atop the WGN studios on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower on the beautiful Mag Mile. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, Mike.
You can follow him at Scott King Media on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Jacobson Radio. You can also follow our Facebook page, like our Facebook page, love our Facebook page. They should make a love one. It's just likes, right? I'm not hip.
I think people feel much better if they felt loved on social media. That's why everyone goes to social media in general, to feel loved, and they can't quite get it. They're on it all night, and they never. It's always chasing a love dragon.
I miss the good old-fashioned pokes, too.
Yeah, kind of weird, but again, you're getting some love in some form. Maybe a little more physical than it should be.
And our Facebook page is facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. You can also use the hashtag back to Twitter, Blackhawks crazy, hashtag Blackhawks crazy, hashtag Blackhawks crazy. So we had a stadium series that did not go so well for your Blackhawks. It was pretty ugly, 6-1 loss, and apparently the Blackhawks just forgot to show up. I don't know if the alumni game switched around, or I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
But nobody showed up on Sunday.
Definitely not the main dogs, the top dogs, the big guns. They definitely did not show up. We'll get into some stats there and things of that nature, but very, very poor showing.
And then after that poor showing on Sunday, not a lot going on with the Blackhawks for the most part. I mean, they haven't played a game. They'll play their first game tonight. Nashville comes into town, obviously a familiar foe in the division. They've got a few game lead on them, obviously, but Nashville is playing a little bit better as of late. The team was really struggling for a while.
They were. Rene was, but they actually won 7 out of their last 8 road games. Yes, so they're going to show up tonight.
They're going to show up, and it's a division rival game, so anything can happen. So we'll do a quick preview of that, but we're going to kind of focus on some other fun stuff too, like Jonathan Toews joining Twitter.
All the rave.
Honestly, I didn't even know that he wasn't on Twitter, because I don't really follow that many athletes on Twitter, because most of them, they don't say anything and it's boring.
No, they just kind of advertise when they're doing something for charity, which is really nice, but I think fans want to see some personality. And luckily, Toews has given you that a little bit already with Shaw. They're back and forth.
Yeah,
it's
so
pretty funny.
We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. And Marian Hossa did not skate today. He's not going to skate. He's not going to play tonight. He didn't skate today. He might skate this weekend. He's already been ruled out for Sunday when the Capitals come into town, which will be a great game. So Sunday is the 2-week mark from when he was put on IR.
Yeah, and they always said a couple weeks.
And Coach Q said maybe a couple weeks.
Right.
So it'll end up being a little bit more than that. So, and then their next games following this Sunday is a back-to-back on the road on Wednesday and Thursday.
Detroit and Boston.
So you would think he would maybe come back for one of those games. Probably the second half of the back and forth.
Yeah, I can see him playing in Boston. They always give Hossa a little extra time. You know, an older vet and a very valuable guy. I feel like they always end up giving him more time to heal up. So maybe you see him at the end of that road trip.
Then Bartlett native Vinny Hinostroza, we only knew you. We only knew you for such a little, not too long there, buddy. You will be remembered for your 4-minute penalty that resulted into 2 goals.
He'll be back at some point, though,
but he got sent back down. And Gustafsson back in the lineup tonight.
As he should be.
Versus the Predators, so that should be good as well. So Chicago Blackhawks, they are a team that is coming off just a brutal loss on Sunday.
Not only a 6-1 loss, Mike, but on a huge NBC stage outdoors in front of 50,000 people at TCF Bank Stadium at the University of Minnesota. Now their outdoor record 1-3. I don't know what it is. The NHL keeps giving them these games, these large-scale outdoor games, and they don't seem to show up for them.
It's strange. You would think in a team that's, you know, 3 cups in 6 years, they've been on the biggest stages.
Exactly. They're used to the spotlight. You'd think they'd give a better effort in these outdoor games. I mean, and they've played in a bunch of them. They should have that experience and be able to use it.
Yeah, and they crapped their pants. I mean that's basically what it came.
I'm not going to argue that.
Nobody played good. There's not one person that you could just say, all right, that's great. So I had my—
I beg to differ. One person, Nicklas Hjalmarsson, +1. Somehow he managed to be +1 in that god-awful game. That's how good he is.
That's kind of amazing. Actually.
Everyone else, you're exactly right.
So my niece's christening was on Sunday morning. So it began at 9 a.m., and this was out in the suburbs, so I live in the city. So then we had the brunch afterwards, which started about 10:30, and then by the time everybody that got done, you start, you know, you're saying your goodbyes and everything. It got to be about 1 o'clock, and I said, I got to get back. I want to see the Hawks game.
Yeah.
So I like hurried back. I've been under the weather for the past couple of days, so I'm like, I'm just ready to relax, take a few notes on the game, have some soup, whatever, watch the game, hurry back, like getting out of my suit and putting on my sweats and everything. And then it felt like it was over within the first 10 minutes. Not
yes.
even.
Yes.
I mean, it was over.
And you just saw how deflated they were after the first few goals. And I mean, you look at the season Crawford's having, but and unfortunately there's been a handful of games where Hughes had to pull him to motivate the team somehow. And I think when you look at the stats and you kind of see what went wrong, obviously if you watched the whole game, you saw right away the effort wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Minnesota, you know, had a changing of the guard as far as coaches are concerned. They're trying to play hard. They're trying to start up some motivation, some momentum for their team. But you see the Hawks take 6 penalties, 27 minutes of penalties. And we'll get into Roosevelt's hit in a little bit. I thought it was interesting the shots were even 32-32, so they were putting pucks on net, or at least attempting to. But I think maybe the most telling stat for why they had such a bad game and why they hung Crawford out to dry was you had the Hawks only blocking 6 shots. Minnesota blocked 20.
Yeah.
I mean, how about your goalie? Getting some shooting lanes. Help the guy out.
I mean, Coach Q said it best. I mean, it was the Wild came out as if it was a game 7. That's the way that they looked at this game.
Yeah, that's their house. They're outdoors. A big deal to everyone in the hockey state, Minnesota.
You got a new coach. I mean, exactly. They fired Mike Yeo. I mean, there was a lot of factors that were favoring them, and they took advantage of all of them and just put it. They look great. You got to give them that. I mean, they clearly dominated the Blackhawks, but it is just one game. But, you know, it'll be on that national stage, and you just hate for them to see them crap their pants like that.
Yeah, and also you see the Hawks get frustrated, like we've talked about before on the show. Good teams know that they draw up that you have to clog the blue line. They collapse. They'll have 4 guys on a blue line and a guy back by the goalie when the Hawks enter their zone. So they have to chip it in and try to make a play, and Minnesota won those battles. So, again, the Hawks have to get their passing on the tape. They have to win the board battles, even try to get more pucks on net. They got to find a way around guys clogging the blue line like that, and unfortunately they didn't on Sunday at all.
What'd you think of the Roosevelt hit on Zucker?
I thought the NHL got it right in not suspending him because, well, I mean, your heart just, like, sinks to your stomach when you see a guy hit his head that hard on the ice. But he hit him, I think he hit him, like, right under his chin was the primary, not, like under, like, on it, but, like, he hit him in the chest, I thought. It was a clean hit. From what I saw, the primary point of contact, I thought, was his chest, but he hit him hard. It was a clean play.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, Zucker hit his head really hard, and he was kind of holding it right after he did, so you hope he's okay. Obviously, he got a concussion, but the right call, wasn't suspended.
And in that game, too, and this is something that I know we had talked about prior to the podcast that you wanted to get into, that Steve Rosenblum wrote up a really good piece about just some of the statistics surrounding Brent Seabrook's year.
Sure, yeah.
Because, you know, you look at Brent Seabrook, he's got 11 goals on the year. He had 8 all of last year. So people are like, oh, he's having a good year.
And people remember what he's done in the playoffs, all those overtime goals, great shot from the blue line. So,
but I've been watching, and I just feel like defensively, he is just not – sometimes I just feel like he's out of place.
I agree with you.
He's not in position.
I would say
like he doesn't know where to go.
And you've seen a little bit of that over the last couple seasons with him, but he's usually able to rebound and have a strong season and do great in the playoffs. But I agree with you. I think the main thing is him being out of position. And then Rosenblum in his article that we're going to talk about got into more of his possession game and how much that is lacking. A lot of that is being out of position and giving the puck away. What he used is an advanced stat called Corsi. Some of you guys listening probably know what that is. If not, we're going to educate you. Corsi is shots on goal plus missed shots plus block shots. So that's showing your possession. And Seabrook's Corsi 4, under 50%, the worst of his career this season. And the worst any season, obviously, under Q then also. And yeah, I think that's the main thing is he's looking at his possession and saying he's not having a good year.
He does tend to kind of get in these little rough patches, as you would say. So we got the more important months are coming here. We've seen the Blackhawks do this a million times.
Yeah, it's not just to single him out. That's the article is about Seabrook, but again, one of the reasons they probably got smoked on Sunday is because the Hawks know that they have this switch they can just flip.
Yeah.
I was talking about this with someone earlier today. They know, I mean, three cups in six seasons, all these future Hall of Famers, they know they have the talent just in the core alone, let alone some of the guys getting traded for and coming up from Rockford always play well and fit in. They can just flip that switch and go from being god-awful to playing very well A-plus hockey. Keith and Yarmolson this season have been the Hawks' shutdown pair because Seabrook hasn't had those possession numbers and is out of position and things like that we talked about. And last year was Oduya and Yarmolson that were the shutdown pair, especially in the playoffs. And obviously Oduya got traded to the star. So that's why you see him with Keith. And those guys have been great together this year, Keith and Yarmolson.
It's a guy, too, in Oduya. It's one of, you appreciate him more now that he's gone, sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Some fans and reporters did when he was here. But exactly. You see how well, he not only moved the puck and cycled it and shot sometimes, but how dependable he was defensively, and he was rarely out of position.
Very true. Very true. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye. And Stan Bowman's been a little bit busy.
He's been about the continental United States.
He's really racking up the miles. I can tell you that much. I mean, he's been everywhere.
Yes, sir.
So what is he scouting for? Are we talking a trade scout? Or are we talking maybe a World Cup roster?
It's a very good question. It's been a little bit of a Twitter debate. he was in Winnipeg for the Jets versus the Stars on Tuesday, and he was in Nashville.
Drew Ladd.
Very possible. I think yes. But he was in Nashville for no. I'm sorry. He was in Montreal for Nashville at Montreal on Monday, and I think he might have been to another game.
he's been all over the place.
Literally all over. It's like we're in a world as Carmen Sandiego. But yeah, I think maybe he was. I don't know. He kind of knows how Ladd's playing and knows his stats. Maybe he was looking at him. But he is. He's involved with Team USA for the World Cup. So I think Chris Cook tweeted out that he had heard from some NHL execs that, yeah, guys, or maybe even Bowman especially, do travel to look at talent for the World Cup. But the trade deadline is Monday, there's no reason he can't do both.
Two birds with one stone.
Yeah,
man.
That's why. So I think there's a little bit of looking at guys for a trade, too.
I mean, there's no question that they're trying to bring somebody in. And whether that be a forward for that top, a left winger for that top line, whether it be a defenseman, they're going to try to improve. Maybe they do both.
Do you think that they have more of a need for a defenseman now after things look so bad again on Sunday? Do you think that priority got shot up the list a little bit?
It's a possibility, but I think if gun to my head, they said, well, all right, guys, we can only do one of these. I think they're still going to try to get that left winger.
I totally agree. I think that's their priority. And Quinville said before, maybe two. Why not two?
But if they're going to get an Andrew Ladd, they're going to get a name of any sort of significance, they're going to have to give up a prospect. Is that Hartman? I think people are going to want more than just Dano. And are you going to even include Tavo in any sort of these talks? And that's something that I don't see them parting with Tavo.
They shouldn't. He has so much upside. He's
21
still so
years old.
Young. Yes.
21 years old. He's not even fully grown yet.
No, and he hasn't been able to show what he can do. He hasn't been able to play to his full potential because he's been not buried. He's making good plays and setting things up and keeping the game flowing. But he's been in the bottom six, playing with guys that are less skilled than him. He should be a top six player, but you have Panarin playing so well with Kane, and Shaw got things going with the first line. And, Quinville said before, the opportunities there, go out and get it as far as him playing on the first line. So he hasn't. Maybe because he's been at left wing there.
He's just not a left winger.
No, he's a right winger. And they're going to play him at center tonight, so we'll see how he does.
If he was a left winger, everything's solved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
He's not.
It's hard to adjust. If that's not your natural position, it's very hard to get that going.
Well, yeah.
Pick up that game. I mean, it's totally different.
I know this is a kind of a weird comparison because it's two totally different sports, but it's like a left tackle as opposed to being a right tackle. It's completely different. It's completely
Yeah, look
different.
At how much trouble Long had switching positions this year.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great player.
He went from guard to tackle.
Yeah.
And that, look at how big difference
yeah.
is that.
That's even more of a shift, yeah.
It's even more of a shift, So, and then you've got, being even a tackle's the same thing, but when you're protecting the blind side of your quarterback compared to the other side, it's totally different, assignments, schemes, all that, whatever.
Same thing with a left
and right wing, I mean, everything's opposite, everything's different. And if some guys just can't adjust – I mean,
and he's 21, so maybe he can eventually.
Eventually. I just don't think that's a guy that they would. But who knows? The Blackhawks have surprised us before.
You never know. I'd like to think they would keep him, but you never know what someone's asking for to get a Ladd or Boedeker. And today we found out they're interested in Hamus for a defenseman from the Canucks. So
who knows?
You never know what's going to happen.
Anything could happen, too. And we were actually talking to my colleague here, I should say our colleague here,
Blackhawks insider
Sam Panionovich, who covers the games here for WGN Radio, and he was just talking. We were just talking about the trade deadline, and he brought up something really good. If you're a Twitter person and you're following, you know, the trade deadline, by the way, is Monday.
That's right, yeah.
Is Monday at 2 p.m. So that's when the trade deadline is. You know, watch out for your fake Pierre LeBrons and all your fake
and,
TSN guys.
Fake Bob McKenzie is always very busy around the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the fake Woj during the NBA trade deadline. Just be careful, because we've all been fooled a couple of times.
Once you see something interesting, a trade rumor, click on that. See if you see a blue check mark. That's usually your first tell. A lot of people don't have the blue check mark anyway, so see how many followers they have. If they have 7 followers, it's probably not a reporter.
Yeah, just because it's Bob McKenzie's face on the Twitter account, and he says that, you know, that Brian Bickell gets traded.
Yes.
Or was that
it was LeBron today.
LeBron. That was the fake LeBron today that had Brian Bickell traded.
And a prospect, I think, for Verbata and Hamhuis.
Oh, so that would have been a really nice deal, huh?
Close
the
deal.
It almost sounds too good to be
true. Close the deal, Gil.
It almost sounds too good to be true. Speaking of Twitter, Jonathan Toews, the captain, sailing into the social media world, and he is out on his ship, and he is at about 95,000 followers. He actually signed up right before the Stadium Series game, so maybe that's why he was distracted.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Him and Shaw were having like a Twitter battle before the game.
It was pretty funny. And they were talking typical hockey talk, calling him Shawzer and Shawzy and, you know, shut your mouth or whatever it was. You got it in front of you by chance?
Let's go through his timeline. His first tweet a couple hours before the Stadium Series, better late than never, eh, Twitter? True Canadian tweet. Got some catching up to do. And then it was the next one, big game in mini today. Let's hear it during the anthem, Hawks fans. A little something to the fans, you know. And then here we go, right after that. Shaw said, oh my God, it happened. Welcome Jonathan Toews to Twitter, at Jonathan Toews. Welcome Jonathan Toews to Twitter and the 21st century, is what Shaw said. And Toews' response to at Shaw's 15er, pipe down, you little puke. It's game day. Get focused.
It's
like
game
that day,
though. You're signing up for Twitter.
Yeah,
like,
man.
What do you mean get focused? Like, apparently none of you guys were focused, because that was just probably the ugliest. That's probably the ugliest game of the year. And
Hard to defend that.
And it's disappointing, because a lot of people were looking forward to enjoying some afternoon outdoor hockey, and it just did not turn out very well.
And then after the game, Toews decided to apologize to Shaw. JK, you know I love you, Shaw. Shaw's 15er. Tough loss for the boys. Thanks again for the support and all the follow.
Now
all those Hawks fans.
Now, these guys all eat, breathe, everything else the same as us, but it's always funny when athletes use, like, JK or LOL or
emojis, and they're like,
emojis.
They, like, hit people for a living and take hits.
it's weird,
they're world-class
right?
athletes, yeah.
It is a little weird to me, but.
Super weird.
So I just, it is kind of, I mean, it took this long for Jonathan Toews to get onto Twitter, and I respect it, to be honest with you, because a lot of athletes, they just get themselves into trouble on Twitter.
Yeah, and some people just don't want to be.
Toews won't, but I mean, I think he just like kind of likes to stay off the grid. But I think somebody eventually kept bugging him in the PR department at Blackhawks and said, hey, why don't you get on Twitter?
And he's joking around and he's tweeting charity events and stuff like that. So that's good to see. A lot of times guys don't want to be bothered at all on social media by fans. So it's cool when guys want to connect like that.
And there's some fans that are really, or some athletes that are really, really good with Twitter and, you said, socializing with fans and answering questions, Shaw being one of them. Kyle Long is very active.
Yeah.
Very, very active. So, I mean, you put that social media, just talking in general, he just loves socializing in general. You get a microphone in front of Kyle Long, he'll go forever.
There's some baseball player a couple years ago that said he wanted to play catch before a game and play catch with some fan. I forgot who that was. It wasn't in Chicago. It was like a year or two ago. Maybe someone on Dodgers or something. But it's cool stuff like that happens.
So I wonder if he's ever going to start, like, talking
Toews
to
at Ryan Kessler.
Yeah,
I'm gonna bury you today.
Yeah,
like, don't forget, he did, even though he's on Twitter now, he was Captain Furious in the beginning of the season. He was very tough.
Yeah, he was leading
everyone.
All the the team. I can talk. He was leading the team in fighting and penalty. Yeah, like you said, and penalty
for minutes. A little bit there. Yeah.
Sorry, I had a little spasm there. Again,
you are still sick, and I do feel like I failed us for not bringing you Vicks Vapor Rub and some chicken soup.
No,
we could have rubbed that on your neck and your chest there, Mike, and gotten you all ready.
It's one of those things. So if you've had this flu that everybody seems to be getting, it sucks.
Yes, thank you for coming in today. It's rough,
and I'm all on all these medications. So like I'll be in the middle of a thought, and I just blank out. Like what was I just talking about? And this happens quite frequently, by the way. Not even when I'm not sick, but now that I am sick, it's happening even more.
Next time I see that happen, I'll start talking about Corsi again.
Yeah, there you go.
Get everyone all entertained.
There you go. So, but Jonathan Taves on Twitter. How about that? I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty.
Yeah, give him a follow. Interesting fellow.
And he's at Jonathan Taves.
Yes, sir.
Nice and easy. Easy peasy. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. You can also find this podcast at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Mentioned it earlier, Hossa did not skate today. He's hoping to skate this weekend. He will not play tonight, obviously, and he's not going to play on Sunday. So needs a few more days here to rest up. Get that lower leg injury correct. Hinostroza is down. Gustafson is in the lineup tonight.
That's good to see. I think they needed him back. Svedberg, I have no problem with. I think he's played well. But Gustafson has done a really good job. He's a good shot. I think he's been solid. And he just had like a bad week, and Q benched him. But you know, he's a younger guy figuring things out. New to the league. He has 9 assists. He's a +9 in 26 games with the Hawks this year. So it's good to see him back. I think they'll get something good out of him.
What about your Kings keys for the next couple of games coming up where the Blackhawks hopefully will pick up a couple of points?
Yes, sir. Have a strong first period. When they get trounced in games like on Sunday, you know, they don't show up right away. You need to have a strong first period. And luckily, they usually make a statement after they get smoked in a game. So I think against Nashville, they're going to come out hard tonight. So number two, block shots. We saw that pathetic stat, really. They only blocked 6 shots and the Wild blocked 20. So just get in some shooting lanes. Take them up. Do a little bit of work for your goaltender. Don't hang them out to dry. And last Kings key, number three, is win battles. Again, if guys are going to clog the blue line, because that's how you defeat the Hawks and get the better of them, you got to win those battles on the boards after you chip some pucks in. And they didn't do a whole lot of that. It's interesting to see in the Stadium Series game, they actually won more faceoffs in the Wild. They won 36-33, so I didn't have to include that in my keys, but win the battles.
There you go. And it's, as my phone goes off there, a nice ESPN alert, even though I work for WGN.
That should be the sound after every key.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe now we got a new sounder. There you go. I don't know if ESPN needs to know about that because there might be some trademark issues there. But
don't tell them.
And the Blackhawks, when they get down in the first period, it's they've had a real tough time the entire.
Sometimes
year.
They come back and have a really strong like second half of the second period and a really strong third period, but sometimes they're just not doing everything they can, like blocking shots, and they get buried.
They're a team that plays much better once they get ahead. First, they're not a come from behind team.
Especially the last 2 years, you're right. Yeah,
I
forgot what the stat is now, but they almost always win a game where they're ahead after 2 periods.
So we'll wrap things up here with a couple of questions from you guys. Again, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. You can submit them there, or you can use the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy on Twitter. He is on Twitter at Scott King Media. I am at Jacobson Radio. Jacobson with an E. This one from Derek Ciavellis. We talk about this every week. I don't know why you don't just read. I can always screw up the names.
I'm not going to do much better.
Does that sound right?
These aren't like my, this isn't my immediate family.
Ciavellis? Yeah, but I don't want to offend our
I might put your name
here.
More wrong than you, Mike.
I care about our listeners. Apparently you don't. So.
you just want to put all the name liability on me in case something happens.
I do. I butcher every name, unless it's a Johnson or Smith.
Well, the second one's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think.
The full name.
Yeah, we'll just probably go with. Yeah, well, we'll get into that. Let's get into Derek Ciavellis' question first. Do you think that Panik or Sikach might be involved in a trade before the deadline?
You didn't butcher the players' names.
Yeah. Sikach is going to be in the lineup tonight.
He is, fourth line on the right wing, I believe.
Right winger.
I don't think those guys would be involved. I don't see teams asking for those guys because first you look at Panik. He couldn't crack the lineup for the worst team in the league, the Maple Leafs, before coming to the Hawks. And he looked good right away, right off the bat with the Hawks, scored a couple goals until his alarm clock failed to wake him up.
If he does get traded, then they're going to have to send the alarm clock with.
Yeah, or maybe buy him one of those that like slap you in the face, or like the airplane that squirts water on you or something.
Something.
But
he likes to sleep.
They did move him to the top line. He even looked okay there. So he's kind of been a utility guy on the Hawks, which they thought he would be. He has some skill. Some people think he can play a top six role. But there hasn't been a big sample size for him, and I don't think he's played well, but I don't think he's proven himself to be a valuable guy that someone might trade for. Sekac, we haven't seen a whole lot of yet. I know he has some NHL experience, I believe. But again, he hasn't really been in a Hawks lineup, so I don't think there's a sample size for both of those guys for a team to be like, oh yeah, that guy is going to fit this role. So I don't be involved in a trade, but I could be wrong.
And we got a little bit of time. We got, we could fit this one in there. Petra. Let's see.
Good luck.
Man, yeah. Okay. Petra Erlewine.
I think you got it.
Petra Erlewine?
You got greedy.
San Diegans?
Might be wine, yeah.
San Diegans. Something like that. Petra asks, will they try to keep Shaw? That is interesting because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's a diehard Blackhawks fan. And he's convinced that if they do end up getting the left winger that they're looking for, that it will have to involve something somehow, some way where Shaw gets sent out of town.
I'm sure they can get a top six guy that can play left wing without having to deal Shaw. The problem is I think a lot of people they talk to are asking for him. So they have to try to find other guys, prospects, maybe even draft picks they can put on a table to where you're not giving up a Shaw and hopefully not giving up a Tara Vinen. I think he's pretty invaluable. I think you definitely want Shaw because of how hard he works. But look how much his skills improved, his skating, his shot. A guy just lives in front of the net. So real good locker room guy. I don't think they want to lose him. If you're just getting a rental maybe, there's no sense in trading him. I don't think he's going to go, but I know teams are always interested in him. So I don't think he's going to go. I don't think you want to trade him, but you never know if they're forced into a situation where Stan Bowman feels like they have to.
I mean, if it involves a package deal that would get Andrew Ladd here, it might be something that
Ladd or Boedeker, and maybe if they're not just a rental, maybe if it's like Boedeker for like 3 years or
something. Yeah, because the fact of the matter is, if you do get an Andrew Ladd, it's going to be a rental. Now, if Andrew Ladd goes down to Florida, where Dale Talon is, who's also very interested, they've got a lot of money. They've got money to spend on there, new ownership.
Yep.
Then they could re-sign him at the end of the year.
Yeah,
they could sign him to a multi-year deal.
We'll see Campbell.
Andrew Ladd is not going to sign a multi-year deal here. He would strictly be rental. So if would you be willing to get rid of Shaw? If Shaw was packaged in that deal for whatever reason, would that be okay with you? I don't know.
I don't see it happening.
As a Hawks fan, would it be okay with you?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see.
You decide.
So you decide, and you can hit us up and let us know about that. Hashtag Blackhawks Crazy on Twitter. So that's going to put a bow on episode 18 here of the Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Thanks again for coming in, my friend.
Thank you. Just feel better. I think that's all the fans want.
Again, there's just something going around here at the WGN.
Around Chicago in general.
Around the studios, unfortunately.
You sounded great, though. I don't think they could tell you're sick, but get better.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's your love that's
you're
really
true professional.
It's your love and your friendship that's going to get me through it. Not Robitussin, not Sudafed, not Tylenol. Not I've taken everything.
I'll send you some emojis later.
Thermaflu. I'll get you through. I'm going to give a free plug to Thermaflu. That's like the best stuff that's worked for me so far.
I've never tried that.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. It's the whole, you put it in water and drink it, the whole thing. So. I know that's very scientific.
They got to be our first sponsor.
And that's why I work in radio and not a doctor.
Wheeling and dealing.
There we go. Next week, we will be back for episode 19. The trade deadline will have passed since it is on Monday on the 29th at 2 p.m. So we'll have lots to talk about or maybe nothing to talk about.
And they would have played the Capitals on Sunday, the President's Trophy hopefuls. The best team in the league. So we'll see how that shakes up.
Predators tonight. Washington on Sunday, both at the United Center. We will talk to you next week.